The word that the Lord gave me end of last year, beginning of this year, was that He will reveal His great grace to us. And He's certainly doing that. I don't know, in your lives, I believe it's the same with you guys. And I actually want to just to cotton on, tag on what Fred has been preaching about the grace, just on a different topic. And it's amazing, in series we had somebody preaching for the first time today, somebody in the congregation that we've been raising up as a leader, and he sent me his notes during the week, and it's amazing when I saw his notes, just he was preaching from the same scripture that I'll be preaching on tonight with the same message. So amazing what the Lord is doing. And we're definitely in the spirit, definitely not Valentine's spirit, but I want to preach on love tonight, which I must say will be a first time for me that I'll actually focus on this topic outside of Bible school or leadership development, because I don't know, in the past, love has always been this kind of religious-y kind of thing for me. I don't know. And but the Lord has clearly shown me that we need to grow in our revelation of His love if we want to and successfully walk in His grace as well. So we're going to look at love tonight. And if we, I've obviously given this away now, but love would definitely be the one word that would characterize Christianity probably the best. That was going to be a question, but that gave myself away there. So if I can maybe just open in prayer for us, like I said, we need revelation of this. But revelation only comes from the Father. I mean, we can, and from the Word of God, we can teach on it and talk about it, but if God doesn't open our eyes, reveals it to our hearts, and actually imparts it to us, it's not a revelation. So if you can just pray with me, I've actually just used scripture for this prayer. Father, we pray tonight that You would grant us, according to the riches of Your glory, to be strengthened with a might through Your Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so there's a scripture or a piece of scripture in the Word that's very dear to me. I don't know, before I came to know the Lord, I was a sinner. I don't know about you guys, if you were saints from the beginning, but I was a sinner. So when the first time I read Ezekiel 16, I was like bawling out my eyes. I don't know if you know Ezekiel 16. I'm going to read just a little part of it, just the first part of it. It's actually where it's where God speaks, prophesies over the church, over His people, and she's at that stage in adulterous relationships with nations around Israel, around it. And the Lord just comes and He says in Ezekiel 16 verses 8, before that in Ezekiel, He says that He comes across this baby, this newborn baby that's actually been thrown out with the navel cord uncut, still in blood. And He speaks over that baby and He says, live. I said to you in your blood, live. Okay, and then the baby actually starts living and matures, and then God comes around this person, at a later stage. And it says in verse 8, when I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was a time of love. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you. And you became mine, says the Lord God. Now that's beautiful words to any one of us. And I believe in our walk with the Lord, each of us comes to this stage where you have been born again. You're actually living, or you're alive, but you're not living. And then the Lord prophesies life over us. And we actually start to mature and we grow. But as we see, if you go and read the scripture further, you will see that that this person isn't mature yet. So only after God enters into a covenant with you and you get a revelation of His love, His unconditional love, you can actually become who He's destined you to be. Because all of that is obviously hidden in Him. So what I just believe this scripture is applicable to us today as a church. And if it's that, then it's applicable to all our lives individually. That in my situation is I need to grow in this revelation of God's love. Okay, we are serving Him, we are following Him, we are laying down our lives, we're doing everything. But we can all come to this point regularly in our walk with Him, when we just get just commit ourselves again to that covenant love relationship that He's got with us, and I believe if Fred is teaching that, if that's the Word of God that says that this is a season of grace, then this is obviously something that we need to or be able to walk in. How do we love other people? How do we love ourselves in the first place? How do we get to that place where you can actually love yourself? What do you say? Having the knowledge that God loves you, exactly. Okay? God loves us unconditionally. And He's actually entered into a covenant with us. In scripture, you'll read and see all over the place. He spreads His wing over you. Or Boaz actually takes a piece of clothing, his cloak, and he covers Ruth with it as a sign of covenant, as a sign of love, as a sign of commitment. So God does that for us. So God's mercy and grace for us comes from His love for us. But with His covenant as the point of departure. So our mercy and grace for others comes from the revelation about God's mercy and grace and love for us. Okay, so when I was just born again, I had a huge revelation of God's love because I wouldn't have been able to love myself at that stage. I knew God's forgiveness. And His mercy and His grace. So for me to walk in relationship and accept other people wasn't that difficult because I knew the love that I experienced and know had nothing to do with myself. It was way back then in Shofar, people, Shofar had a lot of funny people, came to church with funny clothes and funny hair. People you wouldn't love at first sight, but God's grace was with us. So here we are today. Okay, and then in Matthew 10, verses 8, Jesus commands us, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Okay. So if we've received the love of God, it's a command from Him. Listen, you've experienced my love, my unconditional love, my unconditional acceptance. Now just go and pour it over other people. Just go and love them. Just go and show them forgiveness. Just go and be nice and kind to them, because I've been that to you. Now this love we're talking about tonight is, I'm not going to give a huge teaching about all the different kinds of loves. This love we're talking about tonight is called agape love, which means that God loved us from the beginning. It's not a romantic love. It's not an erotic love. It's not a compassionate love. God loved us so much that He gave His only Son. It's a practical kind of doing love. We need to love people. Okay? So Philip needs to love his wife. But then he also needs to love her in a different way. And a few different ways, if you look at the translations and the meanings. But we have to love one another. Husbands have to love their wives. The Bible commands us to. And that is a practical. Agape is a doing love. Okay? So in the Old Testament, we see this command, where God says in Leviticus 19, verses 18, "You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge." I don't know, I had a few grudges in my life. I don't know about you. "Against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Okay. And in Deuteronomy 6, verses 5, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." So we see here, it's not a romantic love. It says, listen, there shouldn't be vengeance in your heart or grudges, but you need to love. So if somebody has done something awful to you, you're not going to be romantically involved with them, but you can love them. have you got it? Okay. I saw this, somebody actually came to our church and wanted to put up this poster as an ad. Jy sal nie gepraat van gehou het nie. Maar dit was, they wanted to announce a meeting, and the meeting was called Romance Jesus. And that was that didn't stick with me. I don't know who's been romantically involved with Jesus, but that's a weird concept to me. So it's not that. It's agape love, okay? If we look at that scripture again, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love the neighbor as yourself. I'm the Lord." So in our relationship with God, God just wants us to accept His word, accept Him, okay, with our heart. There's three things. There's a heart, with your soul, and with your strength. So the heart is just about acceptance, being open to who He is and to the truth of His word. Then, with your soul, you need to obey Him. Your feelings need to follow your conviction. Okay? And then, with your strength, you need to serve Him. So if we take that with our relationship to people that this scripture actually, one of the scriptures referred to, then with a fellow man, with our neighbor, we've got to bear with him or her. No grudges, no vengeance. We've got to accept him or her, and we've got to serve them. Okay? Your neighbor, I don't know about you, but in my family, we used to have huge fights about who's your neighbor, because you actually didn't want to take take that scripture and actually just do it. Just be. That was before I knew the Lord. So that word agape, if we look at it in scripture, it's used in the word to do three things for us. That word love. In the first instance, if we can just go to the next slide. Okay. It reveals God's attitude in the first place to His Son. In John 17, 25 and 26, it reads, "O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I've known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I've declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Okay, so we clearly see that God loved his son. Okay, he agapeed his son. He loved his son. In the second instance, it's to reveal God's attitude to the human race. Okay, best known scripture in the world, in the Word, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes. Okay, so it's for everyone, for the whoevers. And in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? So when I was a sinner, God loved me by giving his son. I wasn't at that stage even able to make peace with myself, love myself, but God loved me to the extent that he, scripture says that it pleased him to bruise his son. Now that's amazing. We'll read that scripture later on. So there's nothing that anyone can do or say or think that can offend God to the extent that there's no hope. Because Christ already died 2,000 years ago. Every sin, every attitude, everything has been covered. While we were still sinners, he died for us. Then his attitude towards believers. In John 14:21, you who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. So if you're a believer, if the word says, if you've got the commandments, if you've been exposed to the will and the word of God, and you keep them by the grace of God, then my Father, you'll be loved by my Father, Jesus said, and by me. Okay, so if you're a believer tonight, you must, God wants you to experience his love for you. Unconditional love. The Father wants to shower his love over us. Jesus wants to shower his love on us. Amen? Then the second thing that word agape or love wants to do in scripture, it wants to reveal God's will for us towards one another in the first place. In John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. Okay, it's a commandment, love one another. So we know what is God's will for us in relationship to one another. He commands us to love one another. Okay, so if you walk in here, you need to experience love. If you're in this place, you must know you are loved. You're accepted just who you are. If you've got sin or no sin, if you smell or don't smell, you are loved and accepted. This must be a family. Okay, I've got children. There's nothing they need to do for me to love them. I love them just because they're mine. When they are naughty, I love them. There's consequences to their sin, but I love them. And what I've actually just learned in parenting is a deliberate thing. You can't just pray, ask God for his grace, and then wake up 21 years later with a new state president as a son. No, parenting is a deliberate thing. And I've just received so much healing and restoration in my life being a parent. Because I just know I wouldn't have been able to make it. And God just reveals his heart for me through what I feel for my children and what I want for them and what they actually, God teaches me through them So we need to, we as the body of Christ, what these scriptures says that amongst one another, but also for the whosoever's in our presence, they must be like children. They must be like family. They must feel loved and accepted. And you know, I don't know, from, there's probably a few things, but fear of rejection, fear of man, stuff like that just keeps us from actually sharing the love that we understand and that we experience. But that's why we've prayed that prayer tonight. And I really believe, trust God, that that revelation will, that in the following days and weeks, that that revelation will grow in our hearts as you go back and just read the scriptures. And we're going to pray that prayer at the end tonight as well as a prayer of agreement for us and for the body of Christ. For God to reveal His love for us. Okay, so His will for us towards one another and also towards all men. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Okay, so that's called a prayer, but also a prophecy. Okay, which we can prophesy over ourselves and over our wives and over our families and over our congregation, our cell groups. Like Paul did, he said, I want to prophesy it over you. May the Lord increase you. May the Lord abound, make you abound in love for one another and to all. This community must know that it's loved. When your patients come to you, they must be loved. When your clients come to you, they must experience something that they've never experienced before. This is not just a cold deal. There's something more to it. What is it? It was quite humbling. At first I thought I was quite nice, but afterwards it was quite humbling. I worked when I had a business as a landscape construction contractor. I had a subcontractor on one of my sites. And one day this guy just walked up to me and said, but can't we talk? There's something about you that I just can't figure out. What is it? What do you believe? What do you read? Which church do you go to? What is this? What is this with you? And I said, well, can we make a date? Then we can spend time around this. So the first date we had with Len and Karen here in Somerset West was just sharing about the Lord. The second time they invited us for dinner, I thought it was just going to be myself and my wife and Len and Karen. And when we got there, it was just a whole meeting of people around the table. And we were friendly with one another and we sat down for dinner. And the first question was, so tell me, Paul, what's this Holy Spirit thing? Why do you believe it and we don't know anything about it? So kind of deep-ended. But the Lord really, by His grace, like I told you, because you know, that's His heart for us, for the world. They must know. Scripture says that it is that God's desire for every man to be saved and come to the full knowledge of who He is. Okay, that's our heart. That's actually why we're here tonight. That's the only thing that validates us being together, being here. To reveal to the world. In John 17, Jesus prays for His disciples. And He says, "And Father, I don't only pray for them, but also for those who will believe through them. That they'll be one as we are, and that they'll understand our love." I think one of the scriptures that Fred spoke on was in Isaiah, where it talks about that we will be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Everything that we do, everything that we are, that Christ has poured into us, is for His glory. so that His name may be glorified, so that His name will be made famous in the earth. But we need to live it. We need to share it. It's actually in our hands. It's interesting, the scripture that says that if you've received this commandment and keep it, obviously there's people that don't qualify for that scripture because they haven't yet received the commandment. And it's actually up to us for the world to know God and know that He loves us. Okay, so scripture nowhere wants us to love sin or to love the world or to love unrighteousness. But I actually want to read that scripture in in 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So we're not gonna go gray here and just love everything and accept everything. We're gonna love the people. We're in partnership with God in this having His kingdom come. So the Father, God the Father, draws people with His love. He draws them. Then the Holy Spirit actually convicts them of their sin. Before I got born again, I was exposed to the Word of God. So while I was enjoying myself in the pub or wherever, the conviction would strike now and again because I made the mistake of exposing myself to the Word. So God had enough ammo to get to me. So God draws us, then the Holy Spirit convicts us. Jesus actually saves the people. All we need to do is love them. That's all our deal. Okay, we're partners in this business, and the part that we play, the love part, is actually great, huge responsibility. The third reason why this agape love, I believe, is revealed in the Bible is just to show us who God is and His nature. 1 John 4:8, it says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." He who does not agape, doesn't matter what people say or do and what community you live, that's why people can go and live as missionaries in a foreign culture community, not be loved, not be accepted. It's strange, weird when you get there. But if you know the love of God, if you know that He is love, if you know Him, then you can love, then you can go, then you can serve, then you love your wife, even if she's little bit ugly with you, being nasty. Then you love your children. You feel like you want to throttle them. But you love them. Have I told you the foundation for story, my son? No. The Lord was good to me just before we had to, last year, before we had to present the Foundation for Liberty seminar. He gave me this great exercise with my oldest son. He goes to school and they get so involved during their break that they forget to eat. So you put in the nice sammies, and my wife makes extra effort into putting nice things in, and they get home and they haven't eaten anything. And I know at school there's children that actually come to school who hasn't had breakfast, who won't have lunch, might have something for dinner. So we told him, if you're not going to eat it, just give it to somebody that will eat it. But you can't come home with food that's been in that little blicky for 7 hours. Okay? So, and I told him, you can give it to this guy or this or that boy, you can, because we know. A few days later, I was looking for some lost toy. And I went in behind the cupboard, and this was about a week after we had the stalk. And there was five little packets of lunch that was sent to school tucked away behind the cupboard. Oh, golly. So it's amazing now. I don't let him know about anything. That's later that night, we sit down. So I ask him, so how's it been going with the lunch? Because I've told him previously, you know, Papa knows the Holy Spirit, and he will show me in everything. So you can either choose to bring it to the light, or it will be exposed somehow. But I still love him. I'm not going to kill him or reject him because of the five psalmists. But there's going to be consequences. So that was a great thing to before we started the foundation for. I encourage the people to come out with their hidden psalmies, with everything that needs to come to the light. But yeah, anyway, so God is love. He who does not love does not know God. And I know there's some of us tonight that want to disqualify yourself now because of that. Say, okay, but then I obviously don't know God because I don't have that huge capacity to love. That's not true. If you're here tonight, if you are in a relationship with God, you know Him and you know that you're loved. But there's things that must be dealt with to pull the plug so that you can actually love. Okay, so if you struggle to love, and you know God and you know He loves you, you're not disqualified. The scripture doesn't disqualify you. Okay, so just get that. So then I actually came to this message just reading 1 Corinthians 13. So I just want us to go there. I don't have it up there because there's a lot of scriptures. If you just want to open your Bibles in 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to read from here, but it's not on there. So just if you want to follow the love chapter in the Bible, and I've broken it down in two parts. So we're first going to read just from verse 1 to 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not loved, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have no agape, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. You could love your wife and have a great romantic relationship. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not agape, I'm nothing. Now this piece of scripture was written to a thriving, huge church, the church in Corinth, growing, the gifts of the Spirit manifesting, prophecy, interpretation of tongues, and the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit evident everywhere. In every cell group, people are raised from the dead, and it is just going bonkers. So this wasn't, it's the context. This is a live, vibrant church. And there's so much of this, gifts and things, that Paul actually has to write a whole three chapters just to, in a book, just to give order to what's happening. Okay, guys, you are experiencing it. It's great. But listen, please, only seven prophecies on the morning. We've only got 2 hours service. We can't have the whole church prophesy. And they were actually prophesying, having dinkum tongues and words of knowledge and wisdom, but just bringing order to everything. They were he It refers to understanding of the mysteries and of knowledge. Okay, so that's discernment, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. There was like experiencing the church where Ananias and Sapphira just lied. And they didn't actually lie. Peter just had a just knew they were lying and they were dead on the in front of the church. That's understanding mysteries, having a word of knowledge and wisdom. There was Paul's preaching. We read scripture today. It's actually somebody's sermon. And word for word, it's the word of God. That's prophecy. Understanding the mystery. Somebody bringing the divine will of God. So things were happening there. They were reaching the lost. They were taking the city for God, setting the standard. But Paul just had to bring it in here. Say, listen, guys, you are great, going great. But I just want to bring back Ezekiel again. Just want to see, are you under the wing of God? Understanding his covenant of love with you and for the rest of the world. Because we can get lost in this tongues thing and prophesying thing and raising the dead if we don't have the love. Okay? It refers to faith. We read in scripture that women had their husbands raised from the dead. They were dead raised all the time. I would be transported in the spirit from Cyrus to Somerset West for the sermon. Church would have saved some traveling money. It was just everyday things. Cities came to Christ. Amazing things happened. Amazing things happened. People sold everything they had and brought it to the apostles' feet and said, listen, feed the poor. Give to those who don't have. I don't have a retirement fund or annuity. This was my piece of property, but I felt the unction just to sell it and to bring it. That's the Holy Spirit. People being obedient. We are growing there. There were people giving their bodies to be burnt. People deciding, listen, I'm not going to renounce my faith. I'd rather burn than deny Christ. Now that is and what scripture alludes to, you can even do that without understanding the love of God. Now I actually love the stories of the martyrs, and just I was reading this morning again just about the translation of the Bible and what consequences that had to people's lives. People that dedicated their lives just to see that the Bible actually gets translated, gets written. People were, those guys that said, listen, we're not going to pray to Mary anymore. We're going to live by faith. They were burnt. People that said, listen, the word of God is not to be hidden in some dark place. We must actually write it down and give it to people to read. Have somebody, have something to preach on. We can't just listen to the word from there. We must experience and live, have the word alive amongst us. They were burnt. They were beheaded. They were sawn in two. People with a love for us. It's amazing. Scripture said, the dead in Christ will rise first. So those guys are going to get their accolades someday. But Paul refers to these things. Why? Because they temporal. Okay, these gifts are amazing. We need to have it. We need to grow in them. We need to grow in them. But these gifts were given so the church could be made to grow. The gifts were there to actually serve the church. They are there today to serve the church, to help the church grow the kingdom. But they're temporal. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 8. I just want to jump a bit. I'll come back to the second part just now. It says, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Why? Because it's temporal stuff. In heaven, we don't need to know words of knowledge and words of wisdom. We don't need the gifts there. Because we're going to have the full packet, everything there. We won't need faith and hope to get to there. It's going to be there. So these things are temporal. But love is eternal. God is love. And that's why Paul is stressing this. Listen, it's great if you need to like stop the people from prophesying. But do you understand that love is the main thing here? Have you got it? Faith, hope, and love. And now abide faith. This is Corinthians 13:13. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of them is love. Faith is important. Why? Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So in this season we're in, faith. We need faith. It's utter importance. But it's temporal. Okay? Hope. Without hope, we can't endure. We can't actually see the day of the Lord's coming. So we need to have hope. But love is eternal. Then we go to the second part of Corinthians 13 from verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Does not envy. Does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a tall order. Never to be provoked. Never to envy. Never to think any evil. I think evil. I could tell you, in Cirrus, we've got about 1 million trucks going through there every month. And no matter where you live in Cirrus, if the trucks come through, they wake up the whole town about 17 times a night. And we've got, I don't know what it is about these small places, but they've got drag racing. Oh, and all these funny exhausts and I've thought evil thoughts in the middle of the night. How am I going to get those guys out of their cars? No evil thoughts. No provoke. You can't get provoked. No envy. Sure. So how do we do this? There's hope for all of us. How do we do it? How do we get to a place where we never parade ourselves? Or where we always suffer long and are always kind? Okay, this amazing piece of scripture I read again while I was reading this, and it's just amazing how the Lord just brought it together for me in Isaiah 53, that whole chapter. I'm just going to read. You don't have to open the album. I'm just going to read to you a few verses there from verse 3. This is a prophecy about Jesus. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and did not esteem himself. That's the not parading. Eh? Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before its shearers in silence. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. From the transgression of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich as his dead, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. Just a whole lot of scriptures there. So if you ask, Lord, how do we love? Then that's our source. It said, if you keep my commandment, then you will be loved by my Father, and I will love you. Jesus was tempted and tested as we are. Everything that would have you envy, or that will aggravate or grieve you, and will test the love that God has actually poured in our hearts, that will test the sharing of it and the flowing with it, Jesus was tempted with. He was tested. And he passed the test. He is our source. Okay? Scripture says, okay, I just want to again remind us. We said we love others and we love ourselves because we've got a revelation of God's love for us. Now, this is God's love. He loved us so much that it pleased him to bruise his son. That he took all our sin upon him. That he was rejected. He was oppressed. He was grieved. So that we don't have to. We don't have to go there. We go there, but as you want to put your foot in it, there's grace not to. And there's a source which you can draw on to share. Lord, this guy has really just done me in bad. But God, I know you've forgiven my sins much. There was much to be forgiven. So Lord, I pray for the grace, for this relationship of ours to actually stand. For the grace that I can actually go into the next meeting with love, with acceptance. So that there's actually something for him to draw on. You see, I'm convinced of that. People are ugly with Christians or just with each other or with us because they don't have a capacity to love because they haven't had a revelation of God's love for them. I was just speaking to somebody in our church this week where he is really struggling in relationship with his family. And I could say to him, listen, have grace. They don't have the capacity to love you the way, to accept you, to treat you the way, to take the company to the level that you believe it should go. They don't have it because they're still blinded. There's no revelation of God's love. So all they could do or can do is love on a human level. Be kind on a human level. And it only takes you that far. You need that revelation of who God is and his love in order to be that blessing we need to be. Again, Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Freely you have received, freely give. I was just thinking earlier about that song. Just when we are challenged in relationship, in circumstance. I was just remembering that song, Amazing Grace. I once was lost. I once was blind. I once was a yo-yo. I once was a real skedonk. But now I'm free. Now I'm found. Now I know that I'm loved. And now I can love. Isaiah 53 verses 11. This is awesome stuff for me. After this bad deal that Jesus got, everything that happened to him, the prophecy reads, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. If you are called to sacrifice, to take the brunt, Jesus did it. Because Scripture says, everything that he went through, the labor of his soul, he shall see the labor of his soul and be justified. Jesus sees us tonight. And that pain and suffering, that rejected, that shame, it's all worth to him. Just to have you with him. Just to have us together. It's amazing. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. When somebody is loved by us, accepted by us, being treated in a kind way by us, it satisfies him. Yes, Father, that was worth it. The price is worth it. Look, it's flowing down from them to those who need to know me, and that's the way they're going to get to know me. Father, I pray for them. Like we pray this prayer, Ephesians, where Paul actually prayed it over the congregation. God, open their eyes. Give them the ability to understand the love and to grow in it and to spread it. Reveal it to them. Hebrews 12 verses 2. How can we do it, Lord? Lord, how can I love somebody like this? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And this is it. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And in the world out there, in our marriages, in our whatever, we become discouraged in our souls. But if we look to him as the author and the finisher of our faith, as the one who actually paid the price so that we can love, so that we can be kind, because he did it, we can. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So we say, Lord, thank you that you know exactly what I'm going through. Thank you, Lord, that you loved me while I was still a sinner. And because of that revelation, I can love. I can be a blessing. I can be kind. I can be generous. I can suffer long. That's why people lay down their lives for translating the word. Lay down their lives lay down their faith. Lay down their lives so that we can have the revelation, so that we can see. They loved God. That scripture in Hebrews actually starts off with the assembly, the huge assembly of witnesses, people sitting in an arena. It refers to in that huge arenas they used to have in Rome, and that whole place packed 50, 70,000 believers sitting in heaven, looking down at each of us running this race, all witnesses of what God can and wants to do, and that they all are cheering and saying, go for it, go for it, love that woman, love that man, forgive him, be kind to him, yes, give him a 17th chance, give him, do it, you can, Jesus did it all, he paid the price, he gave everything, and he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied, amen. So are you encouraged to love? Not your neighbor, but your enemy as well. It's a challenge. So I just want to, I believe, now that we've got agreement on that, just pray this prayer together again. And then we're going to just end off with a song where we're going to proclaim that grace of God like we did earlier. And after that, I'll be in front. If there's anybody who needs any ministry, any prayer, if you need encouragement from the Lord to stand where you need to stand, if you need somebody just to stand in faith with you, to agree with you, if you need somebody just to hold up your hands, to strengthen that weary knees, we want to minister to you and pray with you tonight. But yeah, if we can just pray this prayer again, if you can just in your hearts, in faith, pray with me. Father, we pray tonight that you should grant us according to the riches of your glory, God, to be strengthened with might through your Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ. God, tonight we desire that revelation, God. And not only the revelation of that, Lord, but be connected, to be plugged in to that source, God, that will enable us to love, Lord. That love that is shed abroad in our hearts, God, to share it, to give it, to shower it upon, Lord, those who don't deserve it, Lord. God, and you said in your word that by this the world will know, because the love that you have for one another. Lord, by this the world will know you, because we love you and we love mankind, Lord. That whoever should call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You gave your Son, Lord, so whoever believes should not perish but have eternal life, Lord. God, so we just bring our hearts to you tonight, Lord. We pray that you enlarge it, God. Lord, that you have our arms, Lord, extended so that we could include, God, people that wouldn't necessarily be included, God. In Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, and I pray tonight, I pray for those relationships, Lord. God, for the agreements and the contracts, Lord, that challenge and that discourage. God, and I pray for your grace to shower, Lord, to wash, to flood into each of their situations, Lord. Lord, so that your servants, God, your saints, your people, your followers tonight, Lord, will be plugged into the source to be able to love and forgive and understand. We thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price, Lord. We thank you that you gave it all, Lord. We pray, God, for a revelation of that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, Lord, and we agree with this scripture, Lord. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Lord, and it's our heart, Lord, like we read, to see you fulfilled, Lord. To have that price that you paid been worth it, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. I mean, let's just stand and sing that song and proclaim it tonight.